Welcome to the Cult of the Clock Tower. I am Andrew Nathanson. Every other week, a special guest and I have an in-depth discussion about a character from the game Blood on the Clock Tower. Today's character is the Assassin, a minion from the Bad Moon Rising Edition, whose ability reads, once per game at night, choose a player. They die even if for some reason they could not. Hey everybody, welcome back. Today, I'm joined once again for the fourth time by Brandon. Brandon, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Andrew?
Doing pretty well. So this is your fourth time on the show, and as you were just mentioning to me before we started, this is your fourth character type. You've hit them all now.
That's what I was trying to do. So yeah, I've been on for the Investigator, the Barber, and the Nodashi. So had to come back for a minion.
Yeah, now I haven't actually mentioned it yet, but it's in the title of the show, so you already know we're talking about the Assassin. One of the minions that it only fits in Bad Moon Rising, right? Like, it's hard to make a script around it because it's so obvious in other scripts, but in Bad Moon Rising, it's so sneaky a lot of the time.
Yeah, it has to be kind of in a script that has a lot of protection characters, or else its ability would kind of just be kill a person.
Yeah. But yeah, it is a very cool character. And before we get into our discussion, let's talk about some rules things, because it's a little bit confusing in a couple ways with the Assassin. So obviously the Assassin ability says that they can once per game choose to kill a player at night, and that player will die even if for some reason they couldn't. So basically when they choose somebody, they know that that person's going to die. There are a couple of exceptions, or well, really only one exception, which is if they are drunk when they make the decision from a minstrel, for instance, then the ability will fail because they don't have the ability that says it will they will die even if for some reason it won't, because the drunkenness removes that. But other than that, they can kill through any form of protection. Even the goon, which is a little bit confusing, and you put that in the notes here. Do you want to talk about the goon? Because despite the thing I just said about them not being able to kill when they're drunk, they can still kill the goon.
Yeah, I think the goon is probably the most confusing rules issue with the Assassin, because I think the goon's ability that makes the player who chose them the first time drunk kind of directly conflicts with it. So you have two rules that are conflicting with each other, and there just has to be kind of a ruling of which one takes priority. And in this case, it's the Assassin. Basically, I like to imagine the Assassin with their magic knife, and they, as long as they're not drunk or poisoned, when they throw the knife at their target, it's going to hit it and kill the player that they targeted. So with the goon specifically, assuming the goon is being targeted the first time the night the Assassin, or by the Assassin when the Assassin chooses the goon will change alignment to match the Assassin player's alignment per the goon's ability. And the goon will still make the Assassin drunk, even though it effectively is not really doing anything because the Assassin has killed the goon. So effectively, you've killed the goon and locked them into being evil.
That basically only matters if you have, like an acrobat on the script or something.
Yeah, if you've got custom scripts, if you're storytelling with a goon and an Assassin, I would get in the habit of still putting that drunk reminder token on the Assassin in case you're playing a custom script. But with Bad Moon Rising, I don't think it matters.
But yeah, so it does change the goon alignment, and the goon does die. So it's kind of both abilities working. But also kind of not.
Yeah, a couple other characters where there might be a little bit of confusion just on some of the wording with the fool. So the fool says the first time you die, you do not. And some players might think, well, the Assassin kills them, and that counts as the first death for the fool. But that's not the case. The Assassin will kill right through any ability and make it so that you are putting a shroud directly on the player. So it'll go through the fool and kill them outright.
It basically thinks of the fool as a protection, or as like they are protected for some reason. And so it's not the fool actually registering that they died. It's just that the fool protects themselves the first time. Yeah, and another one that people get confused about, partially because it was on the wiki for a little bit incorrectly. I think it's been fixed since then. But if the Assassin attacks the Zombul, it will straight up entirely kill the Zombul. It doesn't just like make it look like they die. It actually kills them. So in general, you probably don't want to do that unless you want to lose the game, especially because there's literally no way for the evil team to like continue the game after killing their demon in Bad Moon Rising, at night at least.
Yeah, for all you cheeky minions out there that want to do something, you can't do it with the assassin. You can do it with the godfather, but not the assassin.
Yes. Yeah, the assassin, unfortunately, must kill their target if they try to. But yeah, so I think that's all the tricky rules cases. Shall we get into the strategy discussion of playing as the assassin?
Sure.
So I like the assassin a lot. It's probably my favorite minion on the script to play, I think, just because you have a relatively straightforward task, but you still get to be really creative with the timing, because the timing of your kill is really what's important. You want to make sure you use it before you die, and you want to ideally use it in a way that will cause some confusion about what happens at night. But like the floor of the ability is you just get an extra kill at night and make the game end a little bit faster, which is not a bad floor for the ability.
Yeah, that's the bare minimum that you're trying to do, is you just kill somebody and accelerate the game. But along with that, you know, like you said, there's a couple more things that you can be thinking about when you're playing as the assassin. And it kind of, why I like the assassin so much is because it feels kind of like a press your luck character. I believe it's the only once per game minion in the base 3 scripts. So it has the same kind of thought process around any other once per game character, where it's like, well, if I use it early, I get these benefits, but if I save it, I get these other benefits. So how much do I want to risk staying alive if I feel there's more benefit later?
Yeah, it's a really fun thing to have access to on the evil team, because you know that unlike the good characters with once per game abilities, you don't have to fear dying at night. So you're a lot more likely to survive a lot later into the game. So you are just more flexible with the timing of it in general than most once per game good characters.
Right. A lot of it's going to be kind of your judgment and feel of the group of do you think you have a chance of being executed tomorrow, mm-hmm. the next day?
Yeah, and a lot of the time you have a pretty good idea of that because you can see the way things are going and who people are suspecting. And so, yeah, an obvious time to use the ability would be the night before you expect to be executed. But there's a lot more to think about as well with the timing. Like you were saying, it's kind of a press your luck thing with how much information you wait to gather and like when is the actual correct night. If you wait too long, you might pass it by and lose out on the opportunity to make the most of your ability. So what sorts of like, when are you thinking of generally using it in the game? And what sorts of situations are you looking for?
Oh, so I think the nice thing about the assassin is if you don't want to put a lot of thought into it, you don't really have to. But if you're the kind of person that wants to think about all these things, you're trying to do as much as you can with a single kill. And so if you start thinking about what can you do, you can go from there and figure out when you want to make the kill. So let's think about what can be accomplished with the assassin. We already talked about game acceleration, right? You do this by, you simply use your ability, and it's pretty much guaranteed. And the only way that this is not going to happen is if you're not coordinating with your demon and you overlap your kill.
You say it's pretty much guaranteed, but I have seen quite a few times when the assassin and the demon try to kill the same person.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it way too many times. And it seems like a simple thing. But I think the assassin amongst all the minions is like one of the most important to communicate with your demon, because like that's your sole ability, and having it go to waste by killing the same player as the demon picked, your ability's gone.
And if you don't get a chance to coordinate like that, you can always try to sort of sidestep it by thinking like, if I were the demon, who is the highest priority targets tonight? And then you just choose someone different. But then, of course, that means you're killing a relatively low priority target, and so it's not quite as good.
But you're still doing the game acceleration.
So. You are still doing that. So it's like, yeah, it's better to do that than to risk doubling up with the demon, I think.
Right.
Most of the time.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, don't be afraid to talk to your demon every day if you're the assassin. A lot of times I see minions who might go talk to their demon just on day one or just on day two, and they're afraid of going back and having repeated conversations with their demon. But I find a lot of times evil players actually don't go back to each other repeatedly, because you know, the demon passes the bluff and they're like, okay, let's go mess with other people and we don't have to talk again. But if you can come up, especially with a bluff that supports you having a discussion every day, you know, if you're doing a gambler bluff or a grandmother bluff, something that facilitates You talking every day? That's what good players do. They go to the people they trust, and they keep kind of bouncing ideas off each other. So don't necessarily be afraid to do that.
Yeah, like if you just like full on have a conversation, everyone sees you having the conversation, but they don't hear it. That's not like the sort of thing that you would expect evil players to do necessarily. So you can absolutely get away with it. You can also like set up signals.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not one to want to talk to your demon every day, you can set up kind of something ahead of time. If you don't want to use your ability early and you want to say, okay, as the assassin, I'm going to use my ability on the third night. You can come up with a signal of who you might target.
Yeah, one thing I like to do, and I've done this as like the poisoner in Trouble Brewing as well, is just like point with my foot. It's a fairly subtle signal, and nobody's ever going to be watching for it. Although, I mean, now maybe they will if any of my players listen to this episode. And obviously that's something that's for in-person play. If you're playing online, you might have to get a bit more creative with like a verbal cue or something.
Yeah, playing online, coming up with verbal cues are definitely a lot tougher, a lot more creative. But you could always do something simple like, on day three, I'm going to nominate a player, and that's the player I'm going to kill as the assassin.
Yeah.
And if they happen to be executed, I'll kill the player clockwise from there.
What we're getting at here is make sure you have some way of knowing you're not going to double up on the kill with the demon. Because if you do, then you're just completely wasting your ability, and you're a pretty useless minion. But yeah, I don't think I can think of any other particular ways. I guess you can always like make kind of a list of like, if I'm going to do a kill on this night, then it will be this person. Something like that could also work.
Yeah, it depends on how complicated and creative you want to get with your signals. You can always put a number of fingers like resting on your face or on your knee that says like, you know, that many people away in that direction is the person I'm going to kill.
Yeah.
But
I think it's a fun thing to think about, coming up with these signals.
Yeah. In actuality, I don't see a lot of people actually doing any of that, but it's certainly fun to think about all the different, you know, baseball signals you could give to your demon.
Yeah. And you only actually have to like use one of them, and probably just like the foot pointing thing or the finger. Like you can just come up with one and just use it every time. But it's also fun to challenge yourself to come up with different signals every time.
Yeah. I think we've talked about game acceleration, just using your ability, right? So what else can you do? You can stop the use of a good character's ability. And this is probably usually a goal for the demon as well, any evil players. If you have a powerful ongoing ability from a townsfolk that you want to stop, you know, somebody, chambermaid, exorcist, gambler, tea lady, innkeeper, any of those juicy targets, or once per game ability that hasn't been used, courtier, professor, you know, using your ability early is going to stop the repeated use of those abilities, or of the ongoing abilities.
That's a good argument for using it early, is that there are so many ongoing characters that like you would just rather get rid of, even if your timing might not be as confusing perhaps as using it late. Using it early does guarantee that you're not going to be just like surprise executed, and also it does help you to get rid of one of those important characters early on. Especially because in Bad Moon Rising, like, there are a lot of characters that don't really start getting any information until the second night. So if you kill somebody on that second night, you're very likely to have taken somebody out before they really have done anything at all.
Yeah, if a powerful character comes to me in confidence on the first day and just decides that I'm going to be the person they want to trust that game, and I find out they're the exorcist or the tea lady, and I know they're sitting next to two good players, I'm pretty willing to maybe give myself away and use my ability early just to get rid of that powerful townsfolk.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, in a lot of ways, you're thinking like the demon, but you have even more certainty that your kills are going to go through. So it's very helpful in that regard. You don't really have to worry about people kind of like double bluffing you or anything. You don't have to worry about a fool trying to bait you or a sailor. You're just going to kill them. I think the other big thing with timing is if you're going to use it later in the game or after you've gathered some information, the other big thing to think about is confusing kills. So like in particular, players get a lot of information from the death at night. So like if the Moonchild if the Moonchild chose an evil player and now that evil player isn't going to die and it's going to make them look evil, you can kill them to make them look good. Now, how many times are you going to want to throw away an evil player for that? Maybe not that often, but you can do that. You can, like, kill a good player next to a tea lady who is successfully protecting both their neighbors, and everyone will have to figure out which of the neighbors was evil, or if that just was the assassin kill. Anything like that. You can kill a fool on the first night, and they'll have to figure out if they were assassinated or if there's a puka in the game. You know, all sorts of stuff like that can be very tricky with the timing and just add an extra layer for players to figure out that might be very difficult.
And that ties into, like, you saying, like, the fool and the tea lady, you know, that's another thing that you're trying to do with your kill is possibly break through somebody's protection. You know, if you kill a sailor, that could potentially imply that whoever the sailor chose is not drunk, because that would that would imply, you know, the sailor might think that they were drunk because they died, so therefore the person they chose is not drunk, even though they could be. If you've gained the ear of an innkeeper, you know, you could bust through the protection that they're putting on two players. If you've talked with your demon and they say, yeah, I tried to kill so-and-so, but they didn't die, somebody's protecting them, they're not dying somehow, that's where the assassin can jump in.
Yeah, I think it's especially powerful against the tea lady in particular, because the tea lady is the character, like, it's a character that just can get a lot of, like, it's very powerful information because they kind of tell where good players are, and also it's very powerful protection.
Mm-hmm.
And so you disrupting both of those things at the same time is just, like, a really powerful thing to disrupt. So I would always make it a very high priority to kill protected tea lady neighbors, because it's just an extra wrinkle for players to have to be like, is that the one assassin kill? Is that really what we're going to believe? It's a lot easier to just believe that that one of their neighbors is evil, or that they're evil.
Right, and especially if you have an evil player that is seated two away from a tea lady, you don't need to kill the tea lady to neutralize them, right? You kill the protected player, and then they're going to think the other good player is evil, but now you've got an evil player now next to the tea lady, so then the other good player is not protected.
And yeah, that especially works because nobody's going to expect that, like, if they had an evil neighbor, you wouldn't think that their evil neighbor died in the night, right? So the natural thing to do after one of the tea lady's neighbors dies in the night is to kill the other one. So yeah, that works out perfectly if you can just get them to execute the other neighbor.
Yep. Busting through protection characters, you know, fool, tea lady, sailor, innkeeper, you know, they by killing the people that they're protecting or who shouldn't have died, it can bring these players naturally under suspicion, which can fit into a potential narrative that you're trying to drive. But if you do this, and like, let's say you want to frame the innkeeper as evil, and the innkeeper told you, I'm going to protect, you know, so-and-so, and you kill a protected person. Your narrative has to be that, I think, that the innkeeper would be a minion. Because
right.
I think it would be very unlikely for a demon bluffing a protection character to say, I'm going to protect so-and-so and then kill them. That naturally puts their bluff under suspicion. So if you're going to do this, if you're going to specifically target somebody who you know has a chance of being protected in some way, you want to frame your argument such that they're a minion who maybe didn't coordinate with the demon kill in some way.
Yeah, and it can be a weird one to pull off. Occasionally, I think you'll run into a situation where them being confused about why their target died will kind of end up confirming them more, just like socially.
Mm-hmm.
So this can definitely backfire, but I think it's pretty interesting if it does work.
Yeah, definitely predicated on you having some inside knowledge too.
Yeah.
You have a note here too about killing through protection working if you and your demon are double claiming.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, specifically for the tea lady again. Again, I'm always thinking about the tea lady assassin interaction. I think that the assassin's one of, like, the only balancing factors, one of the only major balancing factors for the tea lady. Another way to neutralize the tea lady is to double claim them. And if you can double claim them and then kill through their protection anyway, that can help you to really make it look like the other claim is true. it can be weird if they start trying to like test both of you. But if you're like killing through them, if you're killing one of their neighbors, potentially getting their other neighbor killed, and then people try to test you by killing your neighbors, you're like, you're getting so many wasted executions out of that.
Right. You've done your job anyway.
Yeah. You get a bunch of wasted executions, and it makes it much harder to tell which of you was the real one. So you lose all of the confirmation from the Tea Lady ability in like two different ways. I just think that like, I don't think I've seen it done much, but the idea of just like intentionally double claiming a Tea Lady and then assassinating one of their neighbors seems like a power move.
Yeah, you definitely think about any way you can get around that Tea Lady.
I would imagine it could also work like if your demon's bluffing Tea Lady in that situation to make them more believable, but that's a little bit risky because the town might just give up and execute both.
Execute both of them, yep. Yeah, and if you're thinking about trying to bust through protection in some way too, you might not need inside information from somebody who told you that they're going to protect somebody. You could also think about if you have a professor resurrection, if you have somebody who was, or even a Shabaloth, somebody that came back to life who is generally trusted, that might be a target for somebody like an innkeeper who will want to protect them and make sure that they don't die.
Yeah, that's true, especially if you've already seen evidence of an innkeeper, like you know that some of the demon's kills didn't go through. Yeah, it's when the players who come back have to be dealt with somehow, and the assassin's the most guaranteed way.
So I think one of the big things the assassin does is trying to obfuscate the demon's kills and the kill count at night.
Yeah, because so much of the good team's deductions are going to be based on like how many players died. That'll help them with things like gossip statements, with the gambler dying, figuring out why, and just figuring out what demon is in play. Making the count off by one is very powerful.
Yeah, and I think for each demon, there's a role that the assassin can play to really help that particular demon. So if we just kind of walk through them and think about them, so the Zombul, right, they're not killing on days where somebody was executed. So when the Zombul is not going to get a kill, that's a very good opportunity for you to step in and make a kill and try and confuse the good town as to what demon it is. If it's a larger game, if your obfuscation might not last very long.
Yeah, at that point, you might want to be thinking about just using it for the other things we've been talking about, because very hard to help convince people it's not a Zombul in like a 15-player Zombul game.
Oh, gosh. 15 player Zombul game. Okay, so then I think that's really all you can really do with the assassin and Zombul.
Don't assassinate the Zombul.
Don't. The Pooka. So the Pooka is killing usually once per night, except if you know that the target of the Pooka who is going to die tonight was executed today. That means there will not be a death from the Pooka tonight. And so that's when you can step in as the assassin. And even if they're boiling down to that they think it's a Pooka, you might be able to confuse the town that this person was poisoned instead.
That's something you can do in general, is even if it's not necessarily the case where you're covering up for the player being executed and that meaning the Pooka failed to get a kill. Even if you just like kill another person in general with a Pooka, it's always going to make it so that the town doesn't know which of the two was the one who was poisoned. So it's possible for that to even work out in other situations.
Yeah. And if you're going to do that, I would definitely try to do what we talked about earlier and try and target a power roll, because in general, the Pooka can't respond instantly to somebody who just became trusted during that day. Somebody yeah. comes out and gains a lot of trust, that might be where you come in and kill them instantly because the Pooka can't respond, and now the information that they just revealed might be in question.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good way to make it so they can't tell. What about Shabaloth?
So Shabaloth, I think the best thing you can do is if there are protection roles in a Shabaloth game, at some point, I'm going to imagine that the Shabaloth, when they make their kills, might only kill one or two players. Sorry, one or zero players. And if that happens, especially if it's zero, I would be very tempted as the assassin to use my kill on the following night to make it look like a Poe charge.
Yeah.
Right. So if the Shabaloff happens to kill nobody, and then the following night they happen to kill two players plus your assassin, that would be three kills, assuming nothing else, and that might make it look like an obvious Poe charge.
I think there's another kind of mode you can use the assassin in with Shabaloff, which is you can use your assassination very early, get yourself executed, and then have the Shabaloff attack you at night to revive you. It requires the storyteller to go along with it, obviously, but I think a lot of the time they will if the Shabaloff is sinking kills into you, like every night. it basically makes it so that like the deaths are more confusing at night without really losing the kill power, because once you come back, you can just kill again.
Yeah, and if this is a... I don't see in my group, I don't really see the Shabaloff reviving minions a lot. But if this is something I think that happens a lot with your group, where the Shabaloff brings back minions as a common thing, or at least not uncommon, I would guess the storyteller might try to balance like an assassin and a Shabaloff with more protection characters. So to get around those protection characters, the Shabaloff might have to bring back the assassin in order to get through those protection characters.
But yeah, I just think that assassin in general is the best thing for a Shabaloff to try to bring back, since it is a really powerful once per game thing.
Another reason to use your ability early too.
Yeah, once I learn it's a Shabaloff as the assassin, that's almost like my plan A game plan a lot of the time. I haven't actually played it that much, so this is all kind of hypothetical, but I really like that. That's a style of using the Shabaloff that I like a lot, is just trying to bring minions back. Have it be a little bit less obvious until the minion comes back, and then just end the game right then.
And so, anything else on the Shabaloff?
That's all I can think of specifically. How about the Poe?
The Poe, I think, has a very obvious one. I think if you know the night that the Poe is going to charge, then that's the night you use your ability. So it makes it look like there is no charging. And that, I think a Poe paired with an assassin can be very dangerous near the end of the game, because a lot of times if, you know, nobody dying at night is the signal late in the game that, oh crap, there might be a Poe here, we might be about to lose. And if the assassin covers that up, the evil team might just spring a big surprise onto good.
Yeah, I think also that a slightly different but similar kind of idea is to use it at the same time as the Poe. This requires a lot of coordination, because you have to attack another different person from them. But if you can kill four people in one night, that can also be really, really strong.
Yeah, it's a lot of death.
Yeah, it basically makes it so that like if an assassin and a charged Poe are alive with... I guess from six players is how you would get the win from that position. But with seven, even, you'd take it to a final three where one person's the assassin, one's the Poe, and the other one is the most suspicious good player. That seems like a pretty good situation as well.
Wait, so if you've got seven alive, and if town executes on that day, you go down to six, and then
that's true,
if there's
yeah.
four deaths, that's evil winning. So...
Yeah, so basically, yeah, from seven alive, you can end the game if they miss the execution.
If they execute on when they're seven alive, yeah.
And the Poe is charged, of course, so it might be a little bit hard to get there. But, like, I mean, you can imagine, like, you can play BMR with seven players, right? So if you have a seven-player BMR with a Poe and an assassin, just Poe takes the first night off, town kills somebody, and you win.
Yeah, that's scary.
Or it even works from eight, since... they have to take that night to charge anyway, if you assume town executes on both those days.
Yeah, you don't usually think about the Poe ending the game when there's only seven or eight players left with a no kill at night.
Yeah, it just won't be something that's on people's minds. And it won't always work, because there's like still a good chance that somebody's just protected, right? So,
right.
But even so, as long as you're targeting, you still have to think about your targets. You can't just kill anybody. But if you think about your targets and leave suspicious players alive still, you're going to end up with two players alive even in the final few players. So that's two evil players, I should say. So that's always a good position as well.
And at that time, the assassins use their ability and they can try and fall on the sword.
Yeah. Cool. I can't think of any other particular ways to use it with the Poe. I mean, in general, the Poe's just like the kill everybody character, so Assassin fits right in with that. What else are you thinking about with the Assassin kills? I see you have a section in here on obfuscating good characters' abilities. This is kind of true for any kind of killing, but being a minion doing it is a bit more flexible.
Yeah, and this can apply in general to demon kills as well. It's just another thing that the Assassin can try and do. Certain good characters' abilities rely on potential deaths. The gambler, it might be tough to pick out a gambler who is gambling on people because they often won't come out publicly until they've confirmed a couple people. But if you get wind of a gambler who's gambling on somebody else, you can kill them and make it look like they gambled wrong on someone else. The gossip is a pretty easy one. Anytime the gossip makes a statement, assuming you know who the gossip is, that you know is false, but you want it to seem true, you can make a kill and try and lead town to believe that was a gossip.
That one works really well because the demon can't add an extra kill like that in general. So adding the extra kill to make it look like the extra kill comes from the gossip, that's sort of a thing that only the assassin can do.
The fool we kind of already touched on, but if you kill a fool kind of, mid-game, and maybe they might have to question whether or not they were killed at night previously and they just didn't know it.
Yeah, it kind of adds two kills worth of uncertainty into the game for your one kill. Exorcist is along the same lines, where if your demon can't kill, killing off the exorcist will allow for them to... How does that actually work? If the exorcist, like, what's the order of the knight here? Is it exorcist, then assassin, then demon, or does the assassin go after the demon? I always forget until I actually have the sheet in front
of me. Assassin goes after the demon.
So the exorcist would still get their ability to work that night. It's not like you can kill them to stop and allow your demon to actually get a kill, but you can still use it to confuse everyone, because like when a kill happens in the night, players will assume that the exorcised player wasn't the demon.
Exactly. Yep. The tricky one is if your demon is a puka. So if your demon's a puka and the exorcist picked the puka's target from the previous night will still die, but the puka doesn't wake to choose a new target, which means when an exorcist picks a puka, the following night there will be no death. So if you know that that has happened as the assassin, the following night is when you want to make your kill to try and make it look like the exorcist did not pick your puka.
That one's a little bit easier to coordinate, actually, even though the timing's weirder, because obviously the puka will know that they got exorcised, whereas in the other cases, you have to predict when the exorcist is going to hit your demon.
Right.
Courtiers, a similar one. Courtiers, where you can actually kind of do the thing I was thinking about with exorcist, which is if you know your demon has been poisoned by the courtier, they're going to expect no kills. You can just kill the courtier, which will both make it look like they got the guest wrong and allow your demon to actually continue killing.
Yeah. I was actually the assassin in, I think it was a custom script that had a courtier on it, and picked the right demon. And I was basically kind of forced to kill the courtier because I was like, this can't happen. It was pretty early in the game, and they practically just made a meta guess, guessing what the demon was going to be, and they got it right. And I was like, I kind of got to take this out.
Yeah. The other thing with that one, though, is that can also be used for just killing the courtier to make it look like they got it right. Like, for instance, I don't know, let's say they chose, Zambul, or that's probably not the best example. Let's say they chose Shabaloth, and your demon's actually like a Puka or a Poe. If you kill the courtier in that night, it might look like you're responding to that. Especially, it just depends on how the kills lined up beforehand, but there's a chance you can make it look like they actually got it right and kind of mislead people into the wrong worldview for at least a little bit.
Yeah, so I think that kind of touches on kind of all the different things you can kind of do and accomplish with the assassin. So like I was saying before, I think it kind of all comes down to how many of those do you think you can do at once?
Yeah.
If you see a good opportunity to do, two or three of those all at one time, that might be a good time to use your ability.
Yeah, if you can kill a fool at the same time that a gossip made a false statement that you want to seem true, and also the exorcist hit your demon, And also, what else could we add in here? It's just like the wrong night for a zombie kill or something. Yeah, you right. can do a lot at once.
That's why I personally generally use my assassin ability relatively early. I feel like there's usually a decent opportunity to at least kill a powerful character while obfuscating something. Because the last thing I want to do is die with my ability.
Yeah,
I think I'm willing to take out a powerful character for the duration of the game rather than save it for that surprise win. But your mileage may vary.
Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable way to use it. We haven't talked about it either, but there's also like it can help you sell certain other bluffs. Like it can help you sell a gambler bluff or a gossip bluff. Gambler, obviously, you'd have to kill yourself at some point, but nobody would ever suspect it. So sometimes that's not as bad as it seems.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, especially for like selling a gossip bluff, it's a good character for that. Just in general, it's nice to have that one extra kill that you can slot in.
Yeah, one thing you got to be careful about, even if you do want to use your ability, is if another minion got executed, you want to be really careful using your ability if a minstrel is possibly in play.
Oh yeah.
Because that's almost worse than holding on to your ability. Because at least holding on to it, it was your own fault and you made that risky choice, right? But if you try and go and kill someone and you wake up and the person you chose didn't die, that's almost even more frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, because Minstrel is basically the only way the good team has to stop the assassin kill. So you should definitely be aware of it.
Another thing you can think about when using your ability too is if you have an outsider that was just executed that the town is aware of or you're aware of, you could potentially make your kill after that to kind of make it seem like a godfather instead of an assassin.
Oh yeah, and that can really sell a good demon bluff or something as an outsider. Speaking of bluffs, another thing to consider is the chambermaid, as always. There's a handful of characters that have similar waking patterns, but only one good character that has the exact same waking pattern as the assassin. And if the chambermaid checks you, it can be helpful. It's certainly not essential for a minion by any means. Not essential for anyone, but especially not a minion. But it can be helpful to bluff something that matches your wake pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, you're going to be waking every night until you use your ability. So if you bluff anything that wakes every night, then you're doing pretty good. If you bluff like courtier or professor, then you have the exact same wake pattern. Or I guess courtier is very similar, but they actually wake one night earlier than you do. Professor follows it exactly.
Right, yeah. Yeah, professor would be the safest bluff with protection against the chambermaid. If you're committed to using your ability early, you know, you can bluff any character that either doesn't wake at all or, you know, one of the ones that does once per game. Or like you could do grandmother or something. You'd be risking a chambermaid check on the first night and the second, I guess, like the first two nights. But I guess you're hoping that you can use your ability quick enough that maybe the chambermaid checks you later and it's not that big of a deal for the first night or two.
It's also just not the worst thing in general to have a suspicious wake pattern that gets caught by the chambermaid. That can help you make other players look suspicious as well.
Mm-hmm.
And is taking heat off the demon usually. So it's not always a bad thing to not follow a chambermaid wake pattern.
Yeah, actually, I just thought of that. If you continue to wake, say you don't use your ability and you just like hold on to it the whole game and claim a character that is not waking to specifically draw attention away from the demon.
Yeah.
Because you'd basically be following the demon's wake pattern.
Right.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's nice.
It's all very situational, though. You can never guarantee that there's going to be a chambermaid checking you. So there's a chance that if you try that, it's just kind of going to be a waste. And I think a lot of the time, if there is a chambermaid, you just might want to take them out anyway, if you know about them.
Another thing to consider late game that I don't think we touched upon is if you know that there is a mastermind in play.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's very important timing.
Yeah, if you know there's a actually, it's not just late game. It's as long as you have your ability. If you know that there is a mastermind in play with you and your demon gets executed, I almost can't see a reason why you wouldn't use your assassin ability right there to make it look like the demon is still alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's the last day of the game, right? So the only situation maybe in which you wouldn't, I can't think of one, actually. I don't know, maybe if the gossip, like, made a false statement that you want everyone to know is false? I have no idea. yeah, pretty much just like, you're just better off adding that extra data point in favor of the demon being still alive.
Yeah, unless there's a butcher in play and they also executed another minion. It's a 3-minion game and you know that there's a minstrel in play so that using it wouldn't work anyway.
I think at that point you lose also because then the mastermind's ability stops working.
Oh, right. Good point. That's what I get for trying to come up with a creative example.
I don't know. No, never mind. I was going to say Chambermaid could interact somehow, but it doesn't really. Anyway, let's move on to section 2 now. I think we've exhaustively covered, although actually I'm sure there's things we missed, but I think we've done quite a bit of coverage on using the assassin ability to maximum potential. The other sections here should be a bit shorter because there's just not as much to think about. Fighting the assassin? I don't know. What do you do? Just give up? Can't stop it.
Yeah, the only thing you can really do is try and figure out if an assassin is in the game. So you kind of always have to be thinking about what if there was an extra death caused by the assassin. And the most important part of that is if you believe an assassin happened at some point, it only happens one night.
Right.
So, if an extra death happened and you're starting to believe that it was because of a gossip, you know, maybe the gossip maybe makes the same statement again and tries to see what happens.
Yeah.
If you're really worried about it.
Yeah. It in general, it's kind of hard to test because the things that you would do to test it would be trying to cause that death again, which isn't always a good idea for the good team, or impossible in a lot of cases. Like if a gambler is the one who died, testing that isn't possible. But yeah, in general, I don't think there's too much to think about. I guess one thing is, if you think that the assassin and the demon haven't coordinated, you know, like you haven't seen any players, just for whatever reason, based on how the players have talked to one another, you're pretty sure that if there was an assassin, they wouldn't have been able to coordinate with their demon. And you have very powerful information. It might be okay to just come out with that information because you will be the one obvious target. And there's some kind of chance that both the assassin and the demon will target you simultaneously. So it's like, I don't know, maybe the possibility of assassin makes it so that you're slightly more incentivized to just be public with strong abilities. But I mean, also, if too many people try that, then you're just giving lots of juicy targets for the assassin.
Yeah, and it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Because you won't find out really that the assassin is in the game, but you will know behind the scenes that the assassin kind of wasted their ability.
Yeah. In general, I don't think that's something to rely on, though, because even if you think that might have happened, you can't really prove it. And
yeah.
One
thing you could do, going back to the gossip again, if you're really interested in finding out if there's an assassin in play, I think you could just gossip there is an assassin in play. And if it's true, that'll cause an extra death. Or two, if the assassin decides to also come out. And if you happen to get really lucky and there be zero deaths, I think that would be very hard to get to if there actually is an assassin in play.
Yeah, that's true. It's unlike the other minions, like gossiping, there is a devil's advocate in play. The assassin can mess with that if the assassin's in play, but they can't mess with it when they're the one who's the subject of the gossip statement, I suppose, because all they can do is make it more obvious that it's true.
The other thing you could do is, we were talking about the signals earlier, the baseball signs, like if that's something that your group is really into, you know, obviously watching out for those subtle things could be a good, nice, easy way to catch an assassin.
In particular, if you wake up at night, like say you're the exorcist, you know, you wake up right before the demon. So at that point, there's a good chance that they're making signals at each other. So just, you know, inspect everyone's hands when you wake up at night.
Yeah, other than that, I'm not really sure, other than just having it kind of in the back of your mind all the time, there's not really much you can do against the assassin.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of the character.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, I think it's if it is in play and you can deduce that, it helps you by knowing that there's, you know, less likely to be a mastermind, or if it's a one minion game, it's not a mastermind or devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So that is helpful if you're always keeping it in mind and you think you've deduced that there is an assassin. That can be quite helpful. Anyway, let's move on to running the assassin as the storyteller. Again, not much to talk about here. It's a very straightforward ability. We've already covered the tricky rules interactions. What other considerations do you have as the storyteller for the assassin?
I think the assassin is a great minion all around, I think, for both experienced players and new players. Because if you're experienced and you have that extra level of thought of everything we've talked about, it can be this nice like tension of when to use your ability. But I especially find it really good for new players if you're running BMR for the first time, to throw it in the bag, because I would generally tend to kind of avoid Mastermind as a first game amongst new BMR players, because I think newer players kind of tend to overlook it and not consider that as a possibility. So
yeah, it's hard to like... Experienced players can very often just rattle off like, oh, there is no death. That's because of there's an innkeeper, or there's a this thing, or there, it's a mastermind day, or it's a whatever. And new players aren't going to be able to do that, and they won't be able to work in the mastermind into their deductions as easily.
Right. And as a new player assassin, you know, you can just play it very straightforward and be like, all right, I get to kill somebody. It's pretty easy to kind of tell that I want to kill a high value target. You know?
Yeah. The one risk of it is that I've seen a lot of new players as assassins just kill the same person as the demon, because they and the demon follow the exact same logic chain, which is also, I mean, it's also fine, right? Like, especially for new players, I think Bad Moon Rising games tend to be a little bit evil skewed. So maybe it's okay for that to happen. But yeah, in general, I agree. It's a pretty easy decision for new players. It's an easy ability to understand as well. And it's something that people will like notice on the script. So I definitely agree with your assessment that it's a very good one for a first time playing BMR.
And if you're going to throw in an assassin too, I usually like to throw at least one. I mean, you're probably going to have this naturally anyway, but to be cognizant of having at least one, maybe two characters that do cause protection or don't die during the night in some way. That way somebody might have some evidence of an assassin. So if that innkeeper is protecting two players and one of them dies, they're going to be very suspicious that an assassin is in play.
Yeah, definitely. The other note you put in here is that like we were talking about how in a small game, you can end the game very quickly with an assassin, with like Poe and Shabaloth. In my opinion, it's not like a problem for that to happen. That's just like one of the things the players have to be aware of. But it's a dynamic to be aware of. I don't know if you have like, maybe you have only a half hour to play your game. Just make a 8-player Poe assassin game. You're good.
Yeah, that'll be a quick game. Yeah, I would, you know, personally probably not do that too often. Like pairing an assassin with a Poe or a Shabaloth. If you're going to do a smaller game and want to put an assassin in, I would personally tend to do like a Puka or a Zombul. But yeah, you got to do it at some point to make sure you can't be outmeted though.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things. There's a lot of character setups like that in Bad Moon Rising where I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't usually do this, but it's like, I'll do it less, not that I'll never do it.
Right, yeah. And especially because I think this has been mentioned a bunch of times that the time variance of BMR games can, you know, vastly differ. You can have really quick games or you can have really long games.
Yeah.
So the assassin just kind of skews it slightly towards the speedier end.
But yeah, I think that about does it for the assassin, unless you have any other final thoughts.
Not really, but I'll I didn't really jump in and share this anecdote at the beginning about the assassin. You said it's one of your favorite minions and mine as well. But so our the group that I regularly play with, every so often, we do this bizarre game that we call the meta game, and we basically submit to our regular storyteller four characters that we would like to be, you know, in order and preference, and we have to include a good character and an evil character, and the storyteller does their best to try and create a script where everybody gets their first or second choice character. And at least twice for these, I would put Assassin on my choice of evil characters to play, because I know I'm basically guaranteed to kill probably a powerful townsfolk that somebody else is killing. So,
oh yeah,
it's a good minion that gets the job done.
That's fun. Yeah, I don't know that I can think of many other like great assassin stories that I've come up with. It's just always it's a solid, reliable character.
As long as we've got time, if you don't mind, I do have one more minion story, just a general minion story that I feel like I've got to share because I don't know if I'll be on a minion episode again. One of the best minion plays that I've seen, and this might be controversial depending on how you like to play in full new groups. So we had somebody play with us, and this was, for some reason, we decided to play, I don't even think it was the assassin. We were just playing Trouble Brewing, and it was somebody's first time playing Clock Tower, and they were a minion, and they got down to the final three, and their demon was nominated, and their demon got, I think, two votes, maybe three or something like that, just enough to slate the demon for execution. Mm-hmm. And the minion says something to the effect of, "Oh, does that mean I win?" And immediately everybody was like, "Oh, this guy's the demon." Just assuming that he didn't know kind of how the voting works and that dead players can override and use their vote tokens and stuff. And so basically he was nominated by the last good player and, got pretty much everybody else to vote up on him. And everybody was shocked to learn that he was a minion, and he pulled one over on us. And we asked him, did you know that that's how the votes worked? And he's like, "Oh yeah, totally."
Nice.
So, like, it's only going to work once, but if you're the kind of person who likes to pretend not to know what you're doing in a new group or something, that's a very tricky thing you can do.
Wonderful.
Sorry, I know that has nothing to do with the assassin.
I mean, you can do that as the assassin, so it works.
There you go.
It fits. It fits the episode. You're good. All right. Well, thank you very much, Brandon, for being on the show. Always a pleasure having you. I guess we'll have to try to get you for a traveler next.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Get you for a traveler, or I don't know if I'm ever doing fabled characters, but maybe a fabled.
Yeah, I'll have to think about it.
All right, I'll make sure to keep that in mind when I'm deciding things, and if I forget, just let me know.
I will do.
All right, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for listening, everyone. You'll hear a new episode in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.